Chapter 146. He would get up and wait upon Mr. Nickleby directly. The interval between the delivery of this message and the arrival of Mr. Squeers was very short, but before he came, Ralph had suppressed every sign of emotion and once more regained the hard, immovable, inflexible manner which was habitual to him, and to which, perhaps, was ascribable no small part of the influence which, over many men of no very strong prejudices on the score of morality, he could exert almost at will. "Well, Mr. Squeers," apostrophe he said, welcoming that worthy with his accustomed smile, of which a sharp look and a thoughtful frown were part and parcel. "How do you do?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, sir," apostrophe said Mr. Squeers, "I'm pretty well. So's the family, and so's the boys, except for a sort of rash as is a running through the school, and rather puts 'em off their feed. But it's a ill wind as blows no good to nobody. That's what I always say when them lads has a wisitation." "A wisitation, sir, is the lot of mortality. Mortality itself, sir, is a wisitation. The world is chock full of wisitations. And if a boy repines at a wisitation, and makes you uncomfortable with his noise, he must have his head punched. That's going according to the scripture, that is." "Apostrophe, Mr. Squeers," apostrophe said Ralph, dryly. "Sir," apostrophe, "we'll avoid these precious morsels of morality if you please, and talk of business." "Apostrophe, with all my heart, sir," apostrophe rejoined Squeers, "and first let me say, apostrophe, first let me say, if you please, Knox." Apostrophe, Newman presented himself, when the summons had been twice or thrice repeated, and asked if his master called. "I did." "Go to your dinner. And go at once. Do you hear?" "Apostrophe, it and time," apostrophe said Newman, doggedly. "My time is yours, and I say it is," apostrophe returned Ralph. "You alter it every day," apostrophe said Newman. "It isn't fair." "Apostrophe, you don't keep many cooks, and can easily apologize to them for the trouble," apostrophe retorted Ralph. "Beggin', sir." Apostrophe, Ralph not only issued this order in his most peremptory manner, but, under pretense of fetching some papers from the little office, saw it obeyed, and, when Newman had left the house, chained the door, to prevent the possibility of his returning secretly, by means of his latch key. "I have reason to suspect that fellow," apostrophe said Ralph, when he returned to his own office. "Therefore, until I have thought of the shortest and least troublesome way of ruining him, I hold it best to keep him at a distance." "Apostrophe, it wouldn't take much to ruin him, I should think," apostrophe said Squeers, with a grin. "Perhaps not," apostrophe answered Ralph. "Nor to ruin a great many people whom I know. You were going to say?" Apostrophe, Ralph's summary and matter-of-course way of holding up this example, and throwing out the hint that followed it, had evidently an effect, as doubtless it was designed to have, upon Mr. Squeers, who said, after a little hesitation and in a much more subdued tone, "Why, what I was a-going to say, sir, is, that this here business regarding of that ungrateful and hard-hearted chap, Snawley Sr., puts me out of my way, and occasions a inconveniency quite unparalleled. Besides, as I may say, making, for whole weeks together, Mrs. Squeers a perfect widder. It's a pleasure to me to act with you, of course." "Apostrophe, of course," apostrophe said Ralph, dryly. "Yes, I say of course," apostrophe resumed Mr. Squeers, rubbing his knees, "but at the same time, when one comes, as I do now, better than 250 mile to take a third of it, it does put a man out a good deal, letting alone the risk." "Apostrophe, and where may the risk be, Mr. Squeers?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," said Ralph. "I said, letting alone the risk," apostrophe replied Squeers, evasively. "And I said, where was the risk?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, I wasn't complaining, you know, Mr. Nickleby," apostrophe pleaded Squeers. "Upon my word, I never see such a apostrophe. I ask you, where is the risk?" Apostrophe apostrophe repeated Ralph, emphatically. Where the risk? Apostrophe apostrophe returned Squeers, rubbing his knees still harder. Why, it am necessary to mention. Certain subjects is best avoided. Oh, you know what risk I mean. Apostrophe, how often have I told you, apostrophe said Ralph, and how often am I to tell you, that you run no risk? What have you sworn, or what are you asked to swear, but that at such and such a time a boy was left with you in the name of Smike, that he was at your school for a given number of years, was lost under such and such circumstances, is now found, and has been identified by you in such and such keeping? This is all true, is it not? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, apostrophe replied Squeers, that's all true. Apostrophe, well then, apostrophe said Ralph, what risk do you run? Who swears to a lie but Snolly, a man whom I have paid much less than I have you? Apostrophe apostrophe, he certainly did a cheap, did Snolly, apostrophe observed Squeers. He did a cheap. Apostrophe apostrophe retorted Ralph, testily. Yes, and he did it well, and carries it off with a hypocritical face and a sanctified air, but you? Risk? What do you mean by risk? The certificates are all genuine, Snolly had another son, he has been married twice, his first wife is dead, none but her ghost could tell, that she didn't write that letter, none but Snolly himself can tell, that this is not his son, and that his son is food for worms. The only perjury is Snolly's, and I fancy he is pretty well used to it. Where's your risk? Apostrophe apostrophe, why, you know, apostrophe said Squeers, fidgeting in his chair, if you come to that, I might say where's yours? Apostrophe apostrophe, you might say where's mine? Apostrophe apostrophe returned Ralph, you may say where's mine? I don't appear in the business, neither do you. All Snolly's interest is to stick well to the story he has told, and all his risk is, to depart from it in the least. Talk of your risk in the conspiracy. Apostrophe apostrophe, I say, apostrophe remonstrated Squeers, looking uneasily round. Don't call it that. Just as a favor, don't. Apostrophe, call it what you like, apostrophe said Ralph, irritably, but attend to me. This tale was originally fabricated as a means of annoyance against one who hurt your trade, and half cudgeled you to death, and to enable you to obtain repossession of a half-dead drudge, whom you wished to regain, because, while you wreaked your vengeance on him for his share in the business, you knew that the knowledge that he was again in your power would be the best punishment you could inflict upon your enemy. Is that so, Mr. Squeers? Apostrophe, why, sir, apostrophe returned Squeers, almost overpowered by the determination which Ralph displayed to make everything tell against him, and by his stern unyielding manner, in a measure it was. Apostrophe, what does that mean? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Ralph. Why, in a measure means, returned Squeers, as it may be, that it wasn't all on my account, because you had some old grudge to satisfy to. Apostrophe, if I had not had, apostrophe said Ralph, in no way abashed by the reminder, do you think I should have helped you? Apostrophe apostrophe, why no, I don't suppose you would, apostrophe Squeers replied. I only wanted that point to be all square and straight between us. Apostrophe, how can it ever be otherwise? Apostrophe apostrophe retorted Ralph. Except that the account is against me, for I spend money to gratify my hatred, and you pocket it, and gratify yours at the same time. You are, at least, as avaricious as you are revengeful. So am one. Which is best off? You, who win money and revenge, at the same time, and by the same process, and who are, at all events, sure of money, if not of revenge. Or I, who am only sure of spending money in any case, and can but win bare revenge at last. Apostrophe apostrophe, as Mr. Squeers could only answer this proposition by shrugs and smiles, Ralph bade him be silent, and thankful that he was so well off, and then, fixing his eyes steadily upon him, proceeded to say, first, that Nicholas had thwarted him in a plan he had formed for the disposal in marriage of a certain young lady, and had, in the confusion attendant on her father's sudden death, secured that lady himself, and borne her off in triumph. Secondly, that by some will or settlement, certainly by some instrument in writing, which must contain the young lady's name, and could be, therefore, easily selected from others, if access to the place where it was deposited were once secured, she was entitled to property which, if the existence of this deed ever became known to her, would make her husband, and Ralph represented that Nicholas was certain to marry her, a rich and prosperous man, and most formidable enemy. Thirdly, that this deed had been, with others, stolen from one who had himself obtained, or concealed it fraudulently, and who feared to take any steps for its recovery, and that he, Ralph, knew the thief. To all this Mr. Squeers listened, with greedy ears, that devoured every syllable, and with his one eye and his mouth wide open, marveling for what special reason he was honored with so much of Ralph's confidence, and to what it all tended. "Now," said Ralph, leaning forward, and placing his hand on Squeers' arm, "hear the design which I have conceived, and which I must, if I can ripen it, have carried into execution. No advantage can be reaped from this deed, whatever it is, save by the girl herself, or her husband, and the possession of this deed by one, or other of them is indispensable to any advantage being gained, that I have discovered beyond the possibility of doubt. I want that deed brought here, that I may give the man who brings it £50 in gold, and burn it to ashes before his face." Mr. Squeers, after following with his eye the action of Ralph's hand towards the fireplace, as if he were at that moment consuming the paper, drew a long breath, and said, "Yes, but who's to bring it? Nobody, perhaps, for much is to be done before it can be got at," said Ralph. "But if anybody knew," Mr. Squeers' first tokens of consternation, and his flat relinquishment of the task, would have staggered most men, if they had not immediately occasioned an utter abandonment of the proposition. On Ralph they produced not the slightest effect. Resuming, when the schoolmaster had quite talked himself out of breath, as coolly as if he had never been interrupted, Ralph proceeded to expatiate on such features of the case as he deemed it most advisable to lay the greatest stress on. These were, the age, decrepitude, and weakness of Mrs. Sliderskew, the great improbability of her having any accomplice or even acquaintance, taking into account her secluded habits, and her long residence in such a house as Pride's, the strong reason there was to suppose that the robbery was not the result of a concerted plan. Otherwise she would have watched an opportunity of carrying off a sum of money, the difficulty she would be placed in when she began to think on what she had done, and found herself encumbered with documents of whose nature she was utterly ignorant, and the comparative ease with which somebody, with a full knowledge of her position, obtaining access to her, and working on her fears, if necessary, might worm himself into her confidence and obtain, under one pretense or another, free possession of the deed. To these were added such considerations as the constant residence of Mr. Squeers at a long distance from London, which rendered his association with Mrs. Sliderskew a mere masquerading frolic, in which nobody was likely to recognize him, either at the time or afterwards. The impossibility of Ralph's undertaking the task himself, he being already known to her by sight, and various comments on the uncommon tact and experience of Mr. Squeers, which would make his overreaching one old woman a mere matter of child's play and amusement. In addition to these influences and persuasions, Ralph drew, with his utmost skill and power, a vivid picture of the defeat which Nicholas would sustain, should they succeed, in linking himself to a beggar, where he expected to wed an heiress, glanced at the immeasurable importance it must be to a man situated as Squeers to preserve such a friend as himself, dwelt on a long train of benefits, conferred since their first acquaintance, When he had reported favorably of his treatment of a sickly boy who had died under his hands, and whose death was very convenient to Ralph and his clients, but this he did not say, and finally hinted that the £50 might be increased to 75, or, in the event of very great success, even to 100. These arguments at length concluded, Mr. Squeers crossed his legs, uncrossed them, scratched his head, rubbed his eye, examined the palms of his hands, and bit his nails, and after exhibiting many other signs of restlessness and indecision, asked whether £100 was the highest that Mr. Nickleby could go. Apostrophe being answered in the affirmative, he became restless again, and, after some thought, and an unsuccessful inquiry, whether he couldn't go another 50, apostrophe said he supposed he must try, and do the most he could for a friend, which was always his maxim, and therefore he undertook the job. But how are you to get at the woman? Apostrophe, he said, that's what it is as puzzles me. Apostrophe, I may not get at her at all, apostrophe replied Ralph, but I'll try. I have hunted people in this city, before now, who have been better hit than she, and I know quarters in which a guinea or two, carefully spent, will often solve darker riddles than this. And keep them closed too, if need be. I hear my man ringing at the door. We may as well part. You had better not come to and fro, but wait till you hear from me. Apostrophe, good. Apostrophe, returned Squeers. I say, if you shouldn't find her out, you'll pay expenses at the Saracen, and something for loss of time? Apostrophe, said Ralph, testily, yes. You have nothing more to say? Apostrophe, Squeers shaking his head, Ralph accompanied him to the street door, and audibly wondering, for the edification of Newman, why it was fastened, as if it were night, let him in and Squeers out, and returned to his own room. Now, apostrophe, he muttered, come what come may, for the present I am firm and unshaken. Let me but retrieve this one small portion of my loss and disgrace. Let me but defeat him in this one hope, dear to his heart as I know it must be. Let me but do this, and it shall be the first link in such a chain which I will wind about him, as never man forged yet. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.